Strike action in the ambulance service has been dramatically halted late after management declared a major incident. The stoppage was due to be part of wider action by unions hitting schools, hospitals, bus, trains and other public services over cuts and pay. The ambulance service major incident declaration meant crews were required to turn up for duty. Ambulance chiefs say they had to take the action to maintain a safe level of cover. Health unions are furious. Let's speak to them this morning. Patricia McKeown from Unison. Morning to you, Patricia.
Good morning.
Good morning. And John McPoland from the Ambulance Service. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, you've pulled a fast one here, John.
No, Stephen, we don't believe that we did whatsoever. The notification of strike came through and there was a memorandum of understanding drawn up between trade union representatives and HSC HR directors last week, which said that emergency services would be protected. And it's interesting that within other parts of the health and social care, for example, NE departments, that they do not discriminate between what is an emergency call into their unit. However, the ambulance service branch unions decided that they...
And did you not see this coming?
No, sorry. They decided they wanted to cover only life-threatening emergency calls, which is Category A.
John, I'm finding it difficult to hear you, so I'm not sure if you're straight up to the phone.
That's okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Right, okay. The ambulance service branch of the trade unions decided that they were going to cover Category A life-threatening emergency calls only, which only cover 40% of emergency calls into the ambulance service. And we had discussions ongoing throughout the week trying to get them to move to a position to cover all emergency calls. Unfortunately, we could not at the close of play yesterday afternoon.
Okay, Patricia McKeown.
I think it was a cynical attempt to break a strike. I mean, when the people of Northern Ireland are asleep in their beds at night and unaware that there are only one or two ambulances covering wide geographic tracts, no major incident is declared. There's no incident declared any night of the week when ambulances are stacked up to six deep outside A&E departments for hours on end, unable to discharge their patients. And there's certainly no major incident declared when we're 15% down on the staffing levels because they won't fill the jobs. So I think 2 hours before the strike was bound to happen last night, that was a cynical move and not a very clever one.
Well, someone's been reckless here. It's a serious situation, is it? Is it the case, Patricia, that so many crews were ready to walk out that even call-outs in life-threatening cases could not be covered?
I have no evidence of that. I don't accept that situation. And I'll tell you what, Mr. McPoland and I have been around this for a very long time. In 30-odd years, I have never known ambulance crews who were on strike not to respond to emergency calls. He knows that, and I know that.
John?
Stephen, if I can talk you through yesterday what actually happened. We had an agreement that staff would respond to Category A emergency calls. We expected a level of cover, which would be challenging to even recover to respond to those. But from approximately 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, our resource centre, who looks after the staffing of our ambulances, received a steady stream of calls telling us that staff were withdrawing their labour. At 7:30 last night, we issued an email to the trade unions telling them that the levels of cover were so compromised that we were asking them, was there any way within the agreed protocols that they could encourage their staff to stay on duty? We didn't receive a reply to that email until 9:10. In between times, we had also contacted the staff who were on duty between 8 and 12 and asked them to reconsider their position because the levels were critical. Patricia's quite right that there are times...
Do you know what, though? There's one or two things have happened here. Either management, Patricia, have called a major incident when there wasn't one, or strike action was about to put lives at risk. It's got to be one of the two.
Well, can I just say that business about the emails and nobody answered? All the telephone numbers, all the emergency telephone numbers have been issued. People needed to talk to the workers on the ground and their union representatives. That's what needed to happen last night. Now, I am saying that we have been in major incident situation, according to the definition of it, many, many times over the last number of years. And no such incident has been called. There's been silence about exactly the strain the ambulance service has been on. And that's why people are taking industrial action. And I do think that making that call 2 hours before the strike was about forcing everyone in. I was on the Mater Hospital picket lines, and at 1 o'clock, the first ambulance to come through was a non-emergency patient's ambulance to pick up a non-emergency patient. Where was the life-threatening situation? Where was the need for a major incident in that respect?
Is that true, John Poland?
Well, two things. Firstly, Stephen, the phone calls were also made at the time of the email sent, and the phones just rang out on two of the branch officials. So we have evidence that we made those phone calls. One rang out and was cut off, and then the other one, was the phone was totally switched off. In relation to the incident of the non-emergency patient, the agreement was that non-emergency would provide and protect renal, cancer, oncology and paediatric patients. And the patient who was brought to the matter at that time last night fell into one of those categories. So there's no way that the staff were forced to do that. That was a prior agreement with the trade unions.
This is a total mess.
It's a mess, Stephen, and it's a mess that we were in last night. From 7:30, we were trying to sort this out. We had a lack of response in the trade unions until after 9 o'clock. We had spoke with the staff to try and get them to come in, and it's not that we called this major incident as a first reaction. It was a late decision because we were getting late calls that our cover was going to be so compromised that, as Patricia says, sometimes lives are at threat because the cover is so bad. Last night, it was down to 7. Belfast had no cover whatsoever. There was a 3-year-old in Belfast that we were called to in the early hours of the morning who was short of breath. There was a 3-month-old child in Newton Abbey who was choking. Both those patients would have died without ambulance response, which wouldn't have been there. In Derry City last night, a man was unconscious. He would have died if there had been no ambulance. Enniskillen had no cover. Oma had no cover.
Well, that's pretty compelling, Patricia McKeown, isn't it? That people would have died last night if they hadn't have called you in.
That's a very, very poor assumption that there wouldn't be a response from the ambulance crews. And what I've just said...
It's not because there were no crews to send.
You've got to agree with me, Mr. McPoland, that in every strike over 3 decades, our people have responded to emergency calls. You know that.
Because they have been at the picket lines last night, they were withdrawing their labour. We had no crews to send in Belfast and in Derry. We could not have phoned people at home and asked them to come in because, as everybody knows, in terms of ambulance response, every second counts. We needed crews to be there. This is not a situation that we wanted to manufacture last night whatsoever.
There was a crew sitting outside the Mater Hospital for 2.5 hours. With no call made upon it.
At which time
that was an emergency crew on standby, on duty, waiting for calls. So, you know, come on.
At which time was this, Patricia? Because
The picket lines formed at midnight.
Yes, well, at 12 o'clock, our information was that the crews were going home. They were coming off duty. They were there at the Mater Hospital, thankfully, because we declared the major incident, so staff stayed on as per the agreement. If we hadn't have declared the major incident, that ambulance would not have been there. There would have been no.
I do not accept that is the position.
But that is the position.
I don't think you took all the necessary steps to secure the right cover. I spoke to the negotiators when they came back from the 5 o'clock meeting yesterday. They were not under the impression that cover had not been provided. They were disturbed that they couldn't get a right set of figures from your team on the other side of the negotiating table, and that the figures kept changing, and that you didn't come into the room with a very clear identification of the first and second responders you brought in, what you were doing with the external providers that you use every day of the week. I mean, no clear information on that, so come on.
Well, Patricia, as you said, you weren't part of the negotiating team, and neither was I, so I don't know what information was passed.
What happens next here, Patricia?
There's got to be meetings with the NIAS this morning. I think it's been agreed.
A ballot for industrial action? Does that happen next?
No, we've got a ballot for industrial action.
I mean, will there be future action as a result of what happened last night?
Well, there were two elements to the ballot. One was for strike action, and it wasn't for one day. And the other was for action short of strike. And that does include the right to work to rule, etc. Now, that will be for our own people to take their decisions on how that's going to play out. But this is not a one-day strike in the public services. I mean, all unions have got very clear mandates from their members to take strike action today, Friday the 13th of March, across the public service. But they've also got other mandates for further action.
Well, there may be all of these mandates, but if you think about last night, 7 ambulances for the whole of Northern Ireland.
Think about the nights when there are only 1 or 2 ambulances for the whole of the West, stretching from Derry to Enniskillen, and no major incident is declared. Think about the pressure the ambulance service is currently under. Think about the nights when they cannot deliver. And that is where the profound anger in the people we represent is coming from. They want to get on with doing their job, a very important job in this society. They are hampered at every turn. So they decide to take a stand, major incidents declared.
But if someone dies, Patricia, during these strikes, if someone dies because there isn't an ambulance or a paramedic to save their life, will it have been worth it?
Of course not. What if someone dies when we haven't got the proper cover for the service on any night of the week?
Stephen, we would welcome.
Will you even hear about that?
There are many times, Stephen, where we don't have full levels of cover, and we welcome the support of anybody who can take any action and support us in trying to achieve maximum cover. But when we have never had a position where we would have had 7 ambulances covering all of Northern Ireland, the vast majority of them within the rural areas of County Antrim, which left us short in Belfast. As I've given the list already, and there were many more towns that didn't have that cover.
Okay.
So in many ways, we're on the same page. We want to improve the service. We want to save lives. The unions and our staff want to save lives. They do what they have to do.
Okay.